morning and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today, we tackle the runoff for mayor in Anchorage. We have two candidates, both of them here with us today. Our goal is to hear how each would run our fair city. So welcome to Dave Bronson, a retired military and commercial pilot. Welcome to Hometown Alaska, Dave.
And Thank you for having us. Thanks very much.
And also we have Forrest Dunbar in his second term on the Assembly representing East Anchorage and a captain in the Alaska Army National Guard, where he serves as a judge advocate. And welcome to you, Forrest.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We will use Hometown Alaska's structure to provide different opportunities to hear from both candidates. In the first segment, the moderator will ask questions. In the second segment, candidates will ask each other questions. And in the third section, questions will flow from listeners. We'll stockpile questions from listeners throughout the show to use in this last section. Call us at 550-8433 or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And before we move to opening statements and then to questions, I'd like to remind voters that the deadline for voting is May 11. Ballots were mailed in the community in late April. For details on how to return them or how to vote in person, go to muni.org/elections. And now to the candidates' opening statements. Mr. Bronson, let's start with you. You have a minute for an opening statement.
Great. Thank you, Kathleen, Alaska Forum. Real quick, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Dave Bronson. My wife, Deb, and I have been married for 36 years, and we've lived in Anchorage for 30 of those years. We've raised our two kids here, and quite frankly, we intend on growing old here. Like you said, I'm a 24-year veteran of the Air Force and the Alaska Air National Guard, where I was a pilot and maintenance officer. And then here in September, I retired from a 30-year career as a commercial pilot. I'm running for mayor because, like many of you, I don't recognize my city anymore. We've got vagrants living on our streets and in our parks. Crime is filling our streets and our neighborhoods, and our small businesses have been forced to close by our local politicians. Our schools, our sports, our churches, and even our assembly has been closed to us. I think we're going down the wrong path, clearly down the wrong path. I intend on changing that, changing direction of this city and leading this city far better. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. And now, Mr. Dunbar, your opening statement, you have 60 seconds.
Well, thank you to Kathleen and thank you to Alaska Public Media for organizing this event. My name is Forrest Dunbar, and I'm running for mayor to get us past this public health crisis and get our economy back on track. A little about me, I'm a lifelong Alaskan, originally from Eagle on the Yukon River and Cordova on Prince William Sound. My parents are Miriam, a former special education aide and librarian, and Roger, who worked for 30 years for Fish and Game. Growing up, I worked as a wildland firefighter, commercial fisherman, and I stocked shelves at Fred Meyer. As some of you may know me from my work representing East Anchorage on the Assembly, or perhaps through my service in the Alaska Army National Guard. Since I was first elected in April of 2016, I've focused on jobs, quality of life, public safety, and homelessness. I'm running for mayor because I want to make Anchorage an even better place to live. We should be an exciting city. You know, my opponent and I have starkly different views on what the future of Anchorage looks like, and my campaign is offering a far more positive and fact-based vision, including a 10-point business-backed plan for jobs and economic growth. And we can reclaim our future together if we hold on to the ideas that Anchorage's best days are still ahead of us. So thank you so much. I'm honored to be here this morning. I look forward to answering your questions.
All right. Well, welcome to you both. And we welcome our listeners and let them know that they can send in questions at 550-8433 or email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We're stockpiling those to use in a later segment. So let's start with a question. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Dunbar. The municipal proposal to use first round COVID relief funds to purchase four buildings as service locations for the homeless or those in need of treatment became very controversial in the community. You've acknowledged in news interviews that the municipality made mistakes. As an assembly member, what did you learn and how does this influence your approach to developing public trust if you are elected mayor? You have 60 seconds to answer.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. There are clearly some mistakes made in that process. One was you just cited, there's a perception that CARES Act money was used for four buildings. Actually, one of those buildings, the most significant purchase, was part of the MLMP sale. It was a legal settlement with Providence Hospital that had to go forward to sell MLMP and get out of something in front of the RCA. And so clearly the conflation of those two things by the administration was a mistake. I think also, you know, they tried to go through the typical public process at the municipality, the assembly, where you introduce something, then have public hearing. And clearly, you know, a lot of folks don't really closely follow the assembly, and it makes sense. Most of the things we do are non-controversial. So they thought they were going through the regular public process, but that was perceived as rushing things. And so what they had to do was have far more groundwork laid and do more outreach, particularly in the impacted communities, and communicate exactly why they were doing it, because there had been a fall in the number of beds available, because they were worried about FEMA funds, because they were trying to provide services to some of our most vulnerable people.
Mr. DeVere.
So again, there were clear errors in communication, and it cost a lot of public trust, unfortunately.
Thank you. We do need to move on. Mr. Bronson, do you have a rebuttal? You have 30 seconds for a rebuttal if you so choose.
Well, I agree with Mr. Dunbar in the fact that there were many mistakes made in the handling of the money and the spending of the money. When it comes to the buildings in specific, say the Golden Lion, my intention is on day one is to sell those buildings or that building. It's not that the buildings are in and of themselves are problematic, but it's the methodology that they're using in this, in the buildings. We need to treat people differently. We need to treat them as individuals.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. That's the end of the 30 seconds. All right, the next question is for you, Mr. Bronson. Your campaign blames the current assembly and administration for shutting down businesses and hurting Anchorage's economy. Yet two national studies and an analysis by a UAA economist indicate public fear of catching the coronavirus kept consumers away from businesses, not government closures. Consumer spending slowed before the shutdowns and did not quickly rebound after openings. How does immediately opening all businesses, if citizens don't feel safe, help the economy? And Mr. Bronson, you have 60 seconds.
Well, those studies are right. People were afraid. They were terribly afraid. The problem is that they were made afraid by our local government. As it turns out, we know that most of the people who get sick from COVID, me being one of them, are over 65 years old. I'm 62, and I've had actually a fairly serious case of COVID-19. So I understand what it is. But if we would have stuck with the original plan, which was to go with social distancing and those people with comorbidities staying home and letting everyone else go back to work, we wouldn't be dealing with the economic crisis that we're facing right now. So yes, it was clearly mishandled.
And Mr. Dunbar, you have 30 seconds for rebuttal.
COVID-19 was a deadly disease, is a deadly disease. Mr. Bronson misstates things when he says that the municipality or anyone made people afraid. It was the virus itself. It was the pandemic. It was this unique event. And if we hadn't had these health controls, we would have had far more people get seriously ill and far more people die. But we've been trying to reduce health measures as we can, as vaccination rates rise, as infection rates fall, going back to March with EO19, even before that, when we were able to get schools open. It's a difficult balancing act, but it wasn't the shutdowns that harm the economy. It was the pandemic.
Okay.
And it continues to be the pandemic.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. Now I have a question for each candidate, the same question for each candidate. We'll start with Mr. Bronson. You have 60 seconds to answer. No need for a rebuttal from Mr. Dunbar. The question is, in the general election, both of you secured a bit over 30% of the vote, signaling a divide in the electorate. As mayor, how will you find a way to represent the city residents who did not vote for you? Mr. Bronson.
Well, clearly, in governance, we need to govern for everyone, not just those who supported us going into the electoral process. I intend on governing for all citizens of Anchorage. That's quite clear. I've stated that for many months. We don't need any more division. We need a little bit of unity here. And this assembly has divided us for many months by pitting us one against the other, the big business against the small business, the big business allowed to stay open and the small business forced to close. That's the real division. And the notion that COVID hurt us and not the shutdowns economically, that is on its face nonsensical.
All right. I have the same question for you, Mr. Dunbar. In the general election, both of you secured a bit over 30% of the vote, signaling a divide in the electorate. As mayor, how will you find a way to represent the city residents who didn't vote for you?
Yeah, if you are elected mayor, one must represent the entire municipality, regardless of who people vote for. And I intend to build a coalition And we are building a coalition of people. And my administration will have people that are Democrats, Republicans, independents, nonpartisan, because the vast majority of work that's done on the assembly and in the municipality is nonpartisan. It's roads, drainage, police, fire. It's things that shouldn't be partisan and shouldn't be nationalized issues either. But I will say you have to be able to work with the assembly. And my opponent has referred to people on the assembly as idiots, as trash. He continues with this rhetoric even today. But you have to be able to work with people. I have had good working relationships with people of all different political backgrounds. I'll continue to do that. I'll continue to listen to folks and work in the really interesting and different work of the municipality. It is distinctly different from a lot of national political issues. And because of that, there's opportunity for unity because there's nothing partisan about a pothole.
All right. Thank you to you both. I just want to remind our listeners, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Hometown Alaska. And today is a program where we have the two runoff candidates for the mayor of Anchorage on with us today. We're asking them questions, and we're inviting you to send in your questions to 550-8433. We have Dave Bronson and Forrest Dunbar with us. So now we'll continue. I have another question, which I will offer to Mr. Dunbar. You are advertising your campaign for mayor as a coalition of the reasonable. How will this influence your governance strategies as mayor? Do the terms progressive or centrist apply to your starting positions?
I would call myself mostly center-left, if that makes sense. But I've worked with people from many different political backgrounds. My first job in politics, I was an intern for then-Senator Frank Murkowski. When I got back to Alaska, I was working with the Office of Public Advocacy and worked very closely with then-Senator Fred Dyson, who I later served with on the Assembly and found to be a very reasonable person. So sort of reiterating what I said in the last answer, but we are going to find people from all different backgrounds to serve in municipal government. And indeed, a lot of the folks, I don't even know what their political background is, people who are currently the heads of certain departments. It's not really relevant. What's relevant is that you can deliver these kind of core services. I would like to clarify something I said earlier. So clearly there were industries that were disproportionately impacted by the hunker down orders. There's no question. And we tried to divert CARES Act funding to them. We will continue to send Rescue Plan Act funds to them. But even in places where there were no restrictions, you still had significant economic harm caused by the pandemic. So I wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Mr.
Dunbar. Yeah, we're going to have people from all different political backgrounds.
All right. Now I have a question for Mr. Bronson. You have highlighted your military experience and ability at building teams. The military has a commanding officer as boss and operates by hierarchy, not by consensus. How do you think this experience helps you run a modern, diverse city like Anchorage? Mr. Bronson, you have 60 seconds.
Thank you. Well, leadership transcends the modes of leadership. We have leadership in business. We have leadership in government and politics. And leadership skills transcend all of that. You need to adapt. The leader needs to adapt to the mode of leadership. Politics is different than the military in a way, but the military, as anyone who's been in the military understands, at the upper levels is quite political. And you need to build consensus each and every day when you get up. And you just can't, the notion that you can just order people around, that may work in the Army or the Marine Corps at the very bottom level in combat. But as you work your way up the chain of command, you have to understand, and everyone does, that you do have to actually build consensus when you're especially when you're making the big decisions. And I will.
All right. Mr. Dunbar, you have 30 seconds for rebuttal.
I think this is something that Mr. Bronson and I agree on. I serve in the military as well, and there's no question that there's internal politics in the military. I will say some of the rhetoric that Mr. Bronson has taken, calling the people on the assembly idiots, for example, when the makeup of the assembly is not going to change through the next year, and it's going to be very difficult for him to work with folks that he doesn't treated in a professional manner, that he doesn't see as colleagues. Ultimately, the assembly sets policy and the executive branch executes that policy. The assembly is the one who passes the budget. You have to be able to work with folks. You have to be able to build consensus throughout the community throughout the different levels of leadership.
Thank you so much. I have a question for Mr. Bronson. The Anchorage Press recently published some of your historical comments opposing same-sex marriage and LGBTQ rights. The municipality has protected gay rights since 2018. 2015, and the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized same-sex marriage since 2015. Have you reconciled your views to these public standards? Mr. Bronson, you have 60 seconds.
Yes, I have. There's no question that marriage and gay rights have effectively been federalized. There's no opportunity in the municipality for a mayor to make any changes on that. The notion that I would attempt to make changes is nonsensical, and it would quite frankly be futile. I wouldn't, as mayor, burn any political capital on those issues because they're settled law.
And Mr. Dunbar, do you have a rebuttal to that?
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Bronson, since he's gotten into politics, I mean, going back to 2007, most of his political life has been dedicated to preventing LGBT people from having the same civil rights that everyone else has. I think there are a lot of people in the LGBT community that are rightly concerned having someone like that as the mayor of Anchorage. I've been a strong supporter of LGBT rights. I supported the Equal Rights Ordinance. I opposed the attempt to overturn it through the bathroom bill that Mr. Bronson supported. My sister is a member of the LGBT community, so I'm going to I'm always going to be a strong supporter of that community. Okay. and equal rights with everyone else.
Well, thank you so much. I have a question for Mr. Dunbar. Why doesn't Anchorage have more affordable housing? Builders have complained for years about the city's lengthy permitting processes, saying it makes building too expensive. Is this accurate? And if so, why has it taken so long to correct, including under your watch on the assembly? What ideas do you have to help us get more affordable housing?
It's a great question. Absolutely, we need more affordable housing in Anchorage. While on the assembly, I've worked with people like the home builders, with my colleague John Weddleton, to pass a number of ordinances. The accessory dwelling unit ordinance, for example, that allowed creation of mother-in-law apartments more easily. I worked on the AEDC Live Work Play Housing Subcommittee. We passed another ordinance to reduce a number of driveway permits and those kind of things. But there's no question we need to change the culture at the building department. That's going to take leadership. It's going to take active participation from the mayor's office. It's going to take restructuring of the department. And these are things that I'm excited to do. I think we've made limited progress over the last several years. I want to do much more. You know, right now, despite some of the things my opponent has said about how terrible things are in Anchorage, the truth is a lot of people want to live here, want to move here, want to build here. Our housing market is very hot and our prices continue to rise. So there's no question we need to improve the housing stock, make it easier to build, and that will be an absolute focus of my administration.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. Mr. Bronson, do you have a 30-second rebuttal there?
Yeah, Mr. Dunbar has been sitting in his assembly seat for 5 years. I'm just wondering why now that once he's running for mayor, he wants to make it easier to and less expensive to build the homes that we need. Quite frankly, part of our homeless problems is due to lack of affordable housing, and that's due to compliance with muni regulations and process. That needs to be changed, and I've got folks like Ron Thompson and Adam Trombley on board. We are going to completely revisit Title 21, Title 23, and the entire building process.
All right, thank you. And this question is for you, Mr. Bronson. In a previously televised debate, you said you planned to compensate small businesses hurt by the pandemic by rebating their property taxes. When your opponent asked you how you would pay for this, you said you would cut just about everything except the police department. Is this actually your plan, Mr. Bronson?
Oh, there we are. Yes, we are going to have to look at this city completely differently going forward. We need to make marginal cuts in nearly all departments to help pay the way forward. We can't keep raising the bill even as our population in this city is shrinking. No, I'm not going to cut the police department, but just about every other department, we're going to have to look at cuts. And those cuts are going to have to be in the 5%, maybe the 8% range overall. But the notion that I'm going to sit there and slash the budget and do draconian things, my opponent says I'm going to close the library and attack schools. No, but the library and the schools have to look at operating within their budgets. And either that or we're going to come to a financial crisis here when we're forced to make very difficult decisions in a really big hurry. I'm trying to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Dunbar, 30 seconds for a rebuttal on that.
Sure. The budget is balanced now. Mr. Bronson is going to manufacture a crisis, and then he's going to have very deep cuts. He's saying now it's marginal cuts, but I would ask him what a 5 to 8% cut at the fire department looks like. I think that will be extremely unpopular, and for good reason, because people, when they have a heart attack, they want the EMT to arrive and arrive quickly. They don't like the idea of rolling closures and that kind of things. We need to preserve critical services. We've diversified our revenue. We've largely decoupled from the state. We have a balanced budget. We're trying to preserve critical services like road maintenance, fire, snow removal, the thing that
Thank
people
you, Mr.
need
Dunbar.
To live in this.
Yes, thank you. Just trying to keep everybody in their time limits. We're going to take a little break right now. You are listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'll be right back. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. We are doing Running 2021, which is now a runoff between the mayoral candidates. And we have Dave Bronson and Forrest Dunbar with us on today. And we went through a segment where we asked questions and gave them a chance to answer and rebut each other. We're going to try something different in this second segment. We're going to allow the candidates to ask a question of each other. And we're going to allow 20 seconds to ask a question, 60 seconds to answer that question, and allow a 15-second rebuttal if desired. So I am going to start with Mr. Dunbar. You can ask a question of Mr. Bronson.
Thank you, Kathleen. So Dave, at the Alaska News Source event last week, you proposed three possible sites to house Anchorage's homeless population: the Northway Mall, the former Native Charter School, and the former Native Hospital site in Fairview. My question is, where will you get the funds for this construction and reconstruction? How many people will we house in those facilities? And what kind of facilities will these be specifically?
All right, Mr. Bronson, you have 60 seconds to answer.
Thanks. Those were just three properties that we have access to. We have multiple other properties that are owned by the municipality. They're not near neighborhoods, unlike your plan to put the homeless into neighborhoods. We do have access to that property, and we can look at those. How many people? When the Sullivan Arena closes, we're looking at approximately a total of 700 people that we're going to have to deal with. That includes members of the overall homeless problem, which is about 3,000 people. And to include those 150 to 200 individuals who we would call vagrants or the visible homeless, and we would have to deal with them quite differently.
Mr. Dunbar, 15-second rebuttal.
Unfortunately, I don't think Mr. Bronson answered any of my questions. He didn't say where their money was going to come from. He didn't say what specifically we're going to go into those things. And he said we control those facilities. We do not control the Northway Mall, and it would be very expensive to purchase and to renovate.
All right. We'll move on to another question. Mr. Bronson, you can ask Mr. Dunbar a question.
Right. Mr. Dunbar, in the original ordinance, when the tax cap was passed, it included three words: total taxes collected, unquote, shall be within the tax cap. Why did you allow the alcohol tax and the tax cap to be outside the tax cap as it was originally intended? And of course, this is in clear violation of the original intent of the tax cap.
I think you misunderstand the law, Mr. Bronson, unfortunately. So under the Alaska Constitution, the people of Anchorage can vote to change their charter by 50% plus one. So a number of times during the last three decades, long before I got in the assembly, they've done this for things like the Denina Center, for example. So the people of Anchorage were asked, do you want an alcohol tax? And here are the things they're going for. You need 50% plus one. They passed that, and they amended the charter. And that's why we have an alcohol tax. The people of Anchorage agreed to that. And again, it's something that's been done repeatedly over the last several decades in accordance with the Alaska State Constitution.
All right. Mr. Dunbar, you may ask Mr. Bronson a question.
Thank you. So in that same televised debate, you suggested that the pandemic, if it was real at all, ended last summer. So Fairbanks is now making national news, unfortunately, for another outbreak. Do you still think that the pandemic ended last summer?
I can't hear you.
Well, I misspoke by throwing the word "if" in there. There was a pandemic, certainly, and of course, the definition is of a pandemic is an epidemic that transcends international boundaries. So there obviously was, and certainly there's an outbreak in India right now. But the notion that this is a mass death event that was being claimed early last summer, it never occurred. This has a 99.5% survivability rate. And then that half point, we understand who those people are. They're the elderly with comorbidities, multiple comorbidities. Those folks, we should have encouraged them to stay home until they got vaccinated. We didn't. We just killed the entire economy, or I should say here in Anchorage, you killed the entire economy by shutting it all down. And now you wonder why, since you don't seem to understand economics, you wonder why people are angry and protesting at the assembly. That's precisely why.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Mr. Dunbar, you have 15 seconds for a rebuttal.
Mr. Bronson just said that there wasn't a mass death event since last summer. 300,000 Americans have died since then from at least and more still from COVID-19 and hundreds of Alaskans as well. And if we had done what he asked, many, many more would have died as well. It's unfortunate.
Okay. Mr. Bronson, you have a question for Mr. Dunbar now.
According to recent surveys, Mr. Dunbar, a strong majority of the voters here in Anchorage feel like the city is going in clearly the wrong direction. Anchorage is in worse shape today because of the decisions you and others on the assembly have made. Why should voters trust you to all of a sudden suddenly make good decisions to fix the problems that you created?
You know, we have gone through a really tough year here in Anchorage. There's no question, year and a half, as the whole nation, as the whole state has. And we don't want to do the things that have happened this last year again. We definitely need to change course and head into a better summer, a better economic recovery. But I'll remind folks that we do have done some things over the last 5 years. We sold MLMP. We put that money into the municipal trust. That's going to generate revenues for generations. And it also is going to lower energy costs for the people of Anchorage. We rebuilt the Anchorage Police Department. We added 100 new sworn police officers. We added non-sworn staff like evidence clerks and dispatchers. We cut 911 wait times in half. We've seen crime statistically from the APD have fallen since late 2017, every year since then. So we have made real progress, but there are more things that can be done. I have a 10-point business-backed plan for jobs and economic growth that I think is going to allow us to diversify our economy, improve the visitor industry, improve the knowledge-based economy. There are great things we can do. And we can do them together. I sort of reject Mr. Bronson's notion that we are this hellscape. I think Anchorage is a great place and it can be even better.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. Do you have a rebuttal, Mr. Bronson?
Well, certainly selling MLMP was a good idea and it helped. However, the notion that Anchorage is somehow better than it was last year or just 3 or 4 years ago, again, is quite nonsensical. And it seems to me Mr. Dunbar is kind of tiptoeing past the problem that he created.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson.
Let's remember, he created the problem he's trying to fix.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Now we have an opportunity for Mr. Dunbar to ask Mr. Bronson a question.
Thank you, Kathleen. So, Dave, at the last week's debate, you incorrectly called the vaccines experimental, which is not true. So why do you refuse to get the vaccine and continue to spread misinformation about it?
Mr. Bronson?
Yes, in fact, they are experimental because they're authorized under EUA authority under the FDA. They are not FDA approved. So quite frankly, they are experimental. That's what the E in EUA means.
And Mr.
Actually, it stands for emergency, not experimental. And they went through the same process that normal vaccines go through. They had tens of thousands of trials. I mean, we need to get people to take the vaccine in order to stop this pandemic. And you were actively undermining our attempts to do so. Why do you keep doing that?
I am not doing that. I encourage people who want to take the vaccine to take the vaccine.
Mr. Bronson, you have an opportunity to ask Mr. Dunbar a question now.
Mr. Dunbar, knowing what we now know, and this harkens back to the earlier 20-minute segment, knowing what we know now about COVID-19, would you still vote for or support nearly 20 times the 20 emergency orders that you did support that shut down our city? Would you continue? Would you, if you could do it over, would you vote differently?
And Mr. Dunbar?
I would still have voted for the original emergency declaration. I think there's no question that there were mistakes made over the last year, because this was a once in a lifetime event. This was a black swan pandemic that nobody saw coming, and we were all learning as we went. And there were problems with the rollout of relief funds, for example. It took far too long to get relief funds to small businesses, to people with mortgages, to a variety of different folks. But if you ask me, would I have maintained some of the public health measures that saved lives? I mean, let's not forget, Anchorage, for a city our size, has one of the lowest hospitalization and death rates of any city of our size in the country, as does the state as a whole. Places like South Dakota that Mr. Bronson has cited have death rates that are three or four times, I believe, maybe a little bit less, but have many times what ours are. And so we have done well here. The people of Anchorage have sacrificed. They have come together. The vast majority of people have worn masks, have done the right things, even as Mr. Bronson was having large indoor maskless fundraisers in violation of the emergency orders. Now, fortunately, since emergency order 19 in March, we've gone to 100% capacity. We continue to gradually reduce those emergency orders.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. I am willing to continue. Well, first of all, I want to remind people you're listening to Hometown Alaska. You are hearing our mayoral candidate runoff candidates going back and forth over issues on how they would run this city. We do welcome your calls. We're going to target those for the third segment of the show, 550-8433, or email at hometown@alaskapublic.org, or also you can post on Facebook. So I can continue going back and forth, or I can return to my own questions. Let me ask the candidates, how are you doing? Do you have more questions for each other? I'll ask you first, Mr. Dunbar. Are you ready?
I have a couple more questions, but I'm happy to go back to yours. I think Mr. Bronson and I have been asking each other these kind of questions for a couple weeks now. So I'm curious to hear what questions you have.
All right. And are you happy with that idea, Mr. Bronson?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. I will go ahead and ask a question. This is a question for both candidates. I'll start with Mr. Bronson. Both of you have expressed the view that property taxpayers deserve relief, that Anchorage relies too heavily on them to pay its bills. What is your plan to accomplish this relief? And Mr. Bronson.
Well, first, it's an iterative process. We cannot consider any, or I won't consider any new taxes until we deal with the spending in our city. And again, coming back to the earlier segment, we need to look at each department as its own freestanding business, and we need to operate it that way. We need to find out what we want to do and how we want to do it, and find out where the costs are going. Once we've accomplished that, then we can look at other forms of revenue. But no one ever considers that the budget keeps growing, even as the population keeps shrinking, and revenue sharing from the state continues to shrink dramatically. At some point, this is a spending problem. We have to acknowledge that. And then in the future, at some point, I'm willing to look at additional revenues, but not until we've dealt with the spending issues.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Mr. Dunbar, same question. Both of you have expressed the view that property taxpayers deserve relief, that Anchorage relies too heavily on them to pay its bills. What is your plan to accomplish this relief?
Well, over the last 5 years, we've worked hard to decouple our finances from the state. So it's true that the municipal revenue from the state has declined. And we've done things. We've passed a fuels tax. We sold MLMP and put the money into a trust fund to generate revenue, interest revenue. We've also had quite a few cuts to different departments. We have done a lot of what Mr. Bronson's talking about deliberate cuts to departments other than the police department. That's already happened the last 5 years. We have held the number of employees constant in virtually every department except for police, where there has been an increase. The number one driver of costs at the municipality is healthcare, which is the case at every large institution in the city and in the state. Now, we have done things like the Vera Whole Health Clinic in order to try to contain those costs. The number one driver of property tax increases this year and last year is the governor's decision to end bond debt reimbursement for school bond debt that was passed decades ago. You know, the municipality,
you,
we have
Dunbar.
Been holding the line. We've been
thank you, Mr.
just
Dunbar.
About at inflation.
Yeah.
And so I agree.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar.
I do not see the need for large new revenue.
Thank you.
We've already taken a number of steps.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm just trying to allocate the time equally between both of you.
Totally makes sense.
Okay. I have another question. I'll start with Mr. Bronson. What is your reaction to the guilty verdicts in the Chauvin trial convicting a white ex-police officer of the murdering a black man, George Floyd? Mr. Bronson?
Well, I came out the day of and made a statement that the process worked. And then I'm sure Mr. Chauvin will do, from what I've read, will do an appeal. And again, I trust that process. We'll see how this works its way through the system. But again, I think it's essential that we as citizens trust the process and the entire process. And we're not in the Chauvin trial. It's not over yet.
And Mr. Dunbar, same question. What is your reaction to the guilty verdicts in the Chauvin trial convicting a white ex-police officer of murdering a black man, George Floyd?
I believe it was the right verdict. But other than that, I don't have a lot of difference of opinion with Mr. Bronson. Mm-hmm. But I believe it was the right verdict. I believe he murdered Mr. Floyd.
Mm-hmm. I have another question. I'll begin with you, Mr. Dunbar. Anchorage will soon have a new police chief. What characteristics are you looking for in this new leader? What expectations do you have, Mr. Dunbar?
Well, thank you. I'll be looking for someone who is experienced, someone who is integrated with the community very well, someone who I wanted someone who was internal to APD. I wasn't planning on going outside. And I think the person who embodies all of those aspects is our acting police chief, Ken McCoy. So my intention is to keep Mr. McCoy. It's certainly possible something could happen between now and July 1st, something unanticipated, but I don't see that happening. I've been working with Chief McCoy for the last several years. He was the second in command under Chief Dahl. I think he did a very good job, and I intend to keep Police Chief McCoy.
All right. Same question for you, Mr. Bronson. Anchorage will soon have a new police chief. What characteristics are you looking for in this new leader? What expectations do you have?
Well, the two key aspects of a leader in this key position, and the chief of police certainly is a key position of leadership, that man or woman would have to have the support of the rank and file. That's absolutely essential. You learn that in military leadership. You learn that in corporate leadership. That's an essential. Then also the executive skill and leadership skills have to be there. But when we hire, we will have a process. Everyone will go through the process. I would hope Ms. Chief McCoy would be in this, would submit to that process as well. He would have to. Because we're going to do our background checks, we're going to do our due diligence on everyone that comes through the system. And I had a good meeting with Chief McCoy last week. He's a very good guy, a brilliant guy, great military history, very admirable. But again, to be fair, everyone has to go through the system, our hiring vetting process.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson.
To make it fair.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. I appreciate it. This is, again, a question for both candidates. I will start with Mr. Bronson. The repair of the Port of Alaska has been long, slow, expensive, and in part ineffective, and included the loss of one life and many lawsuits. As Anchorage's mayor, how will you ensure we don't have another costly mistake like this? Mr. Bronson.
Yeah, this has been going on for a long time, and it is one of the key features, or will be a key feature of my administration. We've got a great team on board to advise on this in our transition team, and hopefully carrying forward with a good port director. There's nothing more important actually in this port or in this city than the port. If we get this wrong, if we have an inopportune earthquake, we're going to be getting our groceries through Seward and possibly Whittier, and that will drive up the cost immediately at the grocery store. And frankly, that the lumber store, it just doesn't matter. Getting the port done, getting it done quickly, figuring out what we're going to do with the lawsuit with MARAD, that has to happen. And it has to happen quickly, and it has to happen this summer, because at some point we've got to start turning dirt and getting this thing fixed.
And Mr. Dunbar, the same question. The repair of the Port of Alaska has been long, slow, expensive, and in part ineffective, and included the loss of one life and many lawsuits. As Anchorage's mayor, how will you ensure we don't have another costly mistake like this?
Yeah, there's no question that the Port of Alaska at Anchorage is the most important infrastructure in the city and likely in the state as a whole, because so many folks get their groceries and everything else comes through that port. The good news is we've made significant progress in the last couple of years. The petroleum and cement terminal is on time, on budget, should be finished by the end of next summer. The key now is the plan of finance, and the issue is you have to get everybody on the same page. We have to have the port users are crucially important, and their input. We need the state delegation, and we need the federal delegation, all pulling on the same end of the rope. And I think we are much closer now than we were a number of years ago. You know, the original expansion project was a disaster, and that's why we are suing MARAD. And that has already gone to trial, and we are waiting now for a verdict on that. I think we are going to be victorious there, and there'll be several hundred million dollars coming the city's way. But either way, we're going to have to make sure that we receive federal funds for the port, and that we have our own separate plan of finance to repair the cargo terminals.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. So it's time for us to take another short break. You're listening to Hometown Alaska and our mayoral runoff candidates. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska, and we are doing our discussion and conversation with the mayoral runoff candidates, Dave Bronson and Forrest Dunbar. And we've gone through lots of questions, but now we're going to turn to questions from our audience. We've been stockpiling them. Mm-hmm. We got some over the weekend, and we've got them ready to go. So I'm just going to start. And sometimes they are directed to a candidate. Sometimes they are for both candidates, and I'll just try to make that very clear. Here comes one from Facebook. From Carrie Shepard, let's see. Wasilla took a very different tack to responding to COVID through emergency orders as Anchorage did. I'd like to see how the economy is faring as is in comparison to help evaluate the efficacy of Anchorage's government mandate. So I'm going to let each of you answer this question or this comment from this listener. She's wondering how has the Valley fared with less closure, and how has Anchorage fared? Have you both been watching that, and can you fill us in on it? And I'm going to ask you, Mr. Dunbar, to start.
Well, unfortunately, the infection rate in Wasilla and the Valley has been much higher than Anchorage's in recent times. But if you speak with our epidemiologists and our public health professionals earlier than that, it was lower, because it's not really an apples to apples comparison. You have to compare Anchorage to other cities that have our similar demographics in places like the lower 48. There really isn't an analogous place. Our density, our demographics here. The Valley is a much more rural place, and the rural areas typically did better in terms of infection. And also, they do have fewer of the comorbidities on average that led to fatalities. My understanding is that there was economic harm in Wasilla and the Valley, and of course, they received a lot of COVID relief funds as well. I don't have an exact breakdown of what their GDP did versus what our GDP did, but it's been a tough time for the whole state. It really has. But I think we are fortunate of the shared sacrifices of the people of Anchorage. We've been able to keep COVID-19 at a much lower level than some other parts.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. Mr. Bronson, your response to this, have you been paying attention to the way the Valley has fared during the COVID experience versus Anchorage? And you have 60 seconds.
Thanks. Yeah, the Valley has been doing much better than us. Mr. Dunbar knows that. I'm privy to the same emails that that he is, and they don't have the shutdown that we have. And you would think the valley is certainly far less dense than we are, and you would think that they would have much much higher case fatality rates than we do, and they don't. Even though they're denser. I'm just here to tell you, I've been in large crowds for a long time, and I don't see any outbreaks. I'm not saying that COVID is not a problem. It certainly is, because I'm still paying out-of-pocket medical bills because I from leftover, I'm considered a long-termer in COVID. I had it in November. So it can be serious, but by and large for young people, people under 50 years old, it is not serious. And we should have had those people go back to work. Wasilla did that with minimal shutdowns and minimal mandates. And guess what? They're not facing the economic crisis that we're facing in this city at this time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Bronson. And I do have a call came in for you, Mr. Bronson, from Kathy. She says, why should voters support you when you didn't follow health mandates, which are the law, and held large events? So here's someone who doesn't agree with you. What would you say to Kathy?
Kathy, thank you. We at all of our events, and this is we had large events, and we allowed the individuals to come to our events. We provided masks. We didn't keep anyone from wearing masks. We actually provided them. And again, mask wearing, joining groups that are large, dense groups is, quite frankly, an individual's decision. They didn't have to come. We didn't compel anyone to come into our events, but they did anyways, and there was no outbreak. There were no outbreaks. So I think the data there, at least anecdotally in our case, speaks for itself. I routinely go to a church that's packed with people. Every week, I've been going there for the last 9 months, and there's no outbreak. So at some point, we've got to understand that this impacts certain people far worse than others, and it is very contagious. But at the end of the day, we have to move along. Remember, 99.5%
thank you so much, Mr. Bronson. Appreciate it.
Population survives this.
Thank you so much. This is a question for both of you. It comes from a teacher who actually sent us this because she's teaching right now. It's from Megan McBride. She's a ASD graduate from Service High. She teaches at East High, and she's the parent of future ASD students. She says, and I'm going to start with Mr. Dunbar on this. You'll both get a chance to answer this. She says, municipal funding is a significant percentage of the Anchorage School District budget. The state sets a minimum and maximum amount that the municipality can fund towards the ASD budget. Currently, the Muni funds schools at the maximum level. Do you support continuing to fund schools at this level, or would you support reducing school funding? And again, we're going to allow a minute. I'll start with you, Mr. Dunbar.
My answer is pretty short. Yes. Anchorage is one of the few communities throughout the state that does pay that legal maximum to our school district. And I think we should continue to do so. We need to continue to fund our schools to the degree that we can. You know, good schools, along with safe streets and things like parks and trails and a well-functioning fire department and all the other things that Mr. Bronson wants to cut, those things are crucial to being a globally competitive city. If we want people to live here, to raise families here, to retire here, we have to offer unique quality of life. And that means fully funding our schools. It also means providing that those home supports and that quality of life outside of schools to make teachers' jobs a little bit easier and to make families feel safe and happy here in the city. And they want to remain here. They want to start businesses. They want to have families here. So that's a longer way of saying, yes, I do support maximum funding for the Anchorage School District.
And to you, Mr. Bronson, the same question. Do you support maintaining the funding at the Anchorage School District? I noticed in one of the debates you did say teachers are underpaid, but you did also say that funding for the Anchorage School District may have to be cut. So please answer that question.
I do believe our teachers are underpaid in this city. That's one of the most valuable professions in our society, and we need to pay them more. But at the end of the day, we have to look at the school. We can't address the earlier issue of property tax rates without dealing with the school district. And at the end of the day, I would pay a lot more for schools if our outcomes were better. And right now, our fourth grade reading and math scores are dismal. They're some of the lowest in the country. And that's not a dig on our teachers. That's a dig on policies and administration. To answer your question directly, I don't know if I'm for the spending at this level yet. We've got to get into it and find out where the money is going. We need to do an audit of the school district. We need to know how many teachers we're paying versus how many classrooms that we have and licensed teachers over classrooms. These are questions we got to look at. This as a business, because the population of the school district, the number of students keeps going down, but the bills keeps going up. That needs to be addressed. And even as we try to pay our teachers more, yes, very much a problem. And we got to look at higher outcomes, better, far better outcomes than we're looking at right now. And we need to support our teachers in that.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. I'm going to take a caller who's on the line. Alex, welcome to Hometown. I guess we lost Alex. Okay. Let me go to one of the other questions that we've got lined up here from listeners. Let's see. This is an interesting one. And this is for both candidates, and I'll start with you, Mr. Bronson. Do you support construction of a railway connecting Alberta, Canada, and Alaska? Mr. Bronson.
Yes.
Okay. We can keep it short. How about you, Mr. Dunbar?
Yes, although I'll say that, you know, that's sort of outside the realm of the mayor of Anchorage. And if they can do it, wonderful. I think it's going to be a challenging project for them.
It's kind of a wish list, maybe. Let's see. I'd like to welcome Cody onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Cody. You've got a question?
Yes, Kathleen. Thank you so much. And thank you, gentlemen, for taking the time to have this forum. In the last 15 years, I have owned a condo in East Anchorage. And in those 15 years, the property value has gone down, even in times of economic prosperity for the city. My question to both of you is just broadly, what are your plans to restore property values if you do get elected mayor in your term in office?
So I will give both candidates a chance to answer that. So why don't we start with you, Mr. Dunbar?
Well, thank you, Kathleen. I'll say that that isn't typically what I hear from folks when I'm door knocking or when I'm reaching out to other parts of the community. And I actually also happen to own a condo in East Anchorage, and my value has stayed basically flat. But most folks are actually concerned about the opposite, which is their appraisal value has risen. And right now, of course, housing prices are very high. And because of that, their property taxes have increased. So the idea of property values falling, I think, is a little bit unique. But insofar as we want to preserve the value in our homes, it's about that quality of life. It's about safe streets. It's about access to amenities like parks and trails. It's about good schools. It's about the fire department and quick EMT access. Those are the things that make people want to live in a community, along with a thriving economy, which is what we really are pushing for in my campaign.
Okay.
A diversified economy, an economy that's sustainable, an economy with the jobs of the future. That's going to lead to those.
Thank
those
you so much,
housing value
Mr. Dunbar.
Solid.
Thank you so Thank much. You. So I'm going to go ahead and go to another listener's question.
Does Mr. Bronson get an opportunity to answer that question?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you so much. Mr. Bronson, go ahead.
Thanks, Forrest. And yeah, Cody, good question. I have to agree with Mr. Dunbar. My sense is that property taxes are flat, or excuse me, property values are flat or increasing slightly. And it is a seller's market at this time. But to the basis of your question, what are we going to do to make it better, increase your property values? That's not directly the marketplace drives that, and we have to allow the marketplace to do that. The city, we simply need to make the city more efficient, a better place to live, work, and play. And with that, property values, I think, will come up naturally as long as we get our spending, as long as we get our spending under control.
All right. I've got another caller, written message from a listener. This is for Mr. Bronson. You talk about too many homeless people in Anchorage. What is your solution to this issue, Mr. Bronson?
Well, as long as there's any homeless, there's too many homeless. But we need to, I come out of a 42-year flying career, language has to be precise. And in this, there is an overall homeless problem of about 3,000 people, and it's growing. The vagrant population, the 150 to 200 vagrants or visible homeless, those are the problematic individuals that are living on the street, and they're creating problems. They're violating the law at times. Being homeless is not a criminal offense, and it never should be. But what they do on the street oftentimes is, and that needs to be dealt with from a legal perspective. People shouldn't be immune to the consequences of their own behavior under the law. So first we need to understand the nature of the problem and the overall homeless problem. I think we're working on it quite well. The public-private partnerships are doing the best they can, providing the beds and the meals that we need. But we need to go the next 10 yards to get to the touchdown, which is to deal with the vagrants that are causing problems for our business.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. I'm going to give you, Mr. Dunbar, a chance to answer this question as well. What is your solution to the homeless problem, Mark?
Well, thank you for Mr. Bronson. I think it's the first time I've heard him acknowledge that we are working on this through a public-private partnership. There are already many of those kind of partnerships that are happening in the city. The distinction he makes between these two groups is not one that really exists when you speak with the people who work on these issues. And the idea that people are immune to criminal prosecution because they're homeless is also not true. But people do, if they are engaging in criminal acts, they are subject to arrest and prosecution. But ultimately, that can't be the primary solution at all. It has to be housing, treatment, employment. It has to be the kind of root causes of homelessness. The good news is down at the Sullivan Mass Care Facility, we've learned some important lessons about having on-site resource hubs to connect people to these kind of things, to employment, treatment, housing. And we have some new facilities and new programs coming online now. We have additional HUD funds coming online. We have alcohol tax funds for treatment. We have a new private organizations, Erasmussen and Widener, that are making investment down at the old Beans Cafe property.
Thank you.
So COVID set us back, but I think there's real reason for optimism in the next year to make a real dent in this issue.
Okay, thank you so much. And actually, it's time for us to go to our closing statements and before our hour runs out. So I'm going to go first to you, Mr. Bronson. You have what do you want to leave our listeners with? What's your closing statement?
Great, thank you. Once again, I just want to leave the folks with this, is Anchorage is at a very clear decision point. We must choose between the path that we've been on for the last 5 or 6 years. A path does not lead to prosperity and safe streets, or a different path that does lead us to the Anchorage we knew just a few years ago. We can make Anchorage better collectively and working together, but only if we choose to. We will not get better without making good decisions. We must choose between those who will govern us wisely and those who will not. We must choose between the path to collectivism or the path to individual liberty. But in the end, we've got to choose. Anchorage needs a strong leader to bring it back to prosperity. Quite frankly, I believe I know how to build and lead teams, and we'll take an exceptional team to lead Anchorage, to restore Anchorage. I've worked under both great and not so great leaders. I know
the
difference.
Mr. Bronson, thank you. I actually have to say we have run out of time in our hour. So I think we gave both candidates a really rich time to speak to the citizens of Anchorage. And right now I have to say thanks to our listeners and callers. Thank you, Dave Bronson and Forrest Dunbar. Remember to vote on May 11th and check muni.org/elections for details. Next Monday, host EJ David will return with guests to discuss anti-Asian racism. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Emmert was our audio engineer with help from Ammon Swenson and Adeline Baxter. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.